Again and again, Jesus said to his disciples, to his flock, those who were gathered around, "Don't be afraid. Fear not, little flock. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Fear not. Don't be afraid." And I think that's one of the messages that is very important that we take to heart and to receive it from the Lord by his Holy Spirit right now in this time, in this generation. Don't be afraid. It's quite easy as a young person not to be afraid. They say the male brain doesn't develop until you're about 25, so you take risks without recognizing just how dangerous it is. And yet, as we're taking people out into missions, especially young people, people into short-term missions, there is a responsibility to look after and to be concerned. But I find often that parents and the church, they're actually worried about certain places which they consider to be very dangerous or situations that they consider to be, they wouldn't want their kids to go there. And then they're not worried about other places which actually, if you assess the risk, is probably more dangerous. Do you know what I mean? Because we're affected so much by our media. I interviewed some staff and students in Nuremberg, and I interviewed Germans, I interviewed someone from Romania, some English students, and some Americans, which you'll probably have noticed was where I come from. When I interviewed the American students, I was asking them, you know, you were told about a week into arriving into your short-term DTS, that there might be refugees coming to live with you. What was your feeling? What was your experience? And very quickly, they started saying, "I was scared to death," they said. "I was having panic attacks on the phone, calling my parents. Are they going to rape me? Are they going to attack me? What's going to happen? Are they going to bring disease?" One of the guys said, "I was so angry. I thought, I've paid for this DTS. Why are we having refugees come now?" Yeah, so there was a lot of fear and a lot of resentment about it. And we smile, we laugh. When I asked them then, so how has it changed now 6 months later? They said, one of the girls who had panic attacks said, "I've committed now for the next 2 years, I'm going to work with refugees." Yeah, the guy said, "If it weren't for these guys who became my friends, who came to live with us, 30 Muslim teenage boys," he said, "I don't think I would have changed in my walk with the Lord at all. It's because of becoming friends with these guys that God met with me." Jesus says, "Don't be afraid." And it was a great experience, a great opportunity. I saw there are dads and sons to go out. We've got mission adventures next summer for 2 weeks, taking whole youth groups out, especially into Eastern Europe and Europe. So there are many opportunities, but yet we often are afraid. Jesus has proclaimed freedom, freedom from fear, freedom from concern about just our own little lives, and brought us into the abundance of life that is in him by his Holy Spirit, and we are to be his representatives. That is, in the place of God, because we're created in the image and likeness of God, the Salem and Demut, or the Hebrew words, we are created to be here in this creation, which is a broken creation, in this world, in order to represent to the peoples, to the nations, what our loving, merciful, kind, good Heavenly Father is like. And that's why we are a Spirit-empowered people who have been conformed more and more into the likeness of Jesus Christ, that together as his body, we would display his glory to the nations, to all of the peoples. And I love looking out now at St. B's. It wasn't quite like this, you know, almost 30 years ago. There's a wonderful diversity of nations and languages and peoples gathered in together to worship in this place. Praise the Lord. That's how it should be in London, a city of super diversity. But what is God doing in our time? Let's go to the next slide. In 1993, we began, to begin to pray, particularly during the month of Ramadan, the 30 days that are Ramadan, and to pray for our Muslim neighbors, to pray with them as well, and to pray as they are praying that God would reveal himself to them. And as we've been doing that over the years, it's grown and grown and grown. This little booklet is now translated into I don't know how many languages. I saw the one in Papua New Guinea in Pidgin English, and the Finnish one, and the one in Mandarin. So there's many, many places that have been praying over these years. And I believe God is bringing mission to us. Susie was a little bit of a... she was sometimes a little bit of a prod in the side of some of the leaders here at St. Bee. She was on the staff at one time as the children and youth worker, the first one. And she would say things like, you know, the kingdom of God is a party. We should have more parties because heaven is a party. And many years later, John Coles, who was the rector at the time, said to us, that used to annoy me so much. I used to think, no, the kingdom of God is about getting the work done, getting the work of the kingdom done. And said she would just drive me crazy in these staff meetings. And then he said, but you know, you're absolutely right. The kingdom of God is a party. It's a celebration. And Jesus invites each of us in to that celebration of that abundance, that goodness. As we pray for our Muslim neighbors and as they live amongst us, and as some of them are migrating, fleeing, we can label them and name them in many different ways. We can call them economic migrants. I was joking in Jersey, the island where Susie's from, that they don't really welcome poor economic migrants, but they welcome very wealthy economic migrants, those who are avoiding harsh tax regimes and so on. But they don't call them economic migrants, they call them high-value residents. High-value residents. And after I had spoken, one of the guys walked up to me and said, yeah, and I was deputy chief executive of something in the government. And he said, I tried to change that. It should be high economic value, not high value. But Jesus says to you and to me, you are high-value residents in the kingdom of God. High value. He has invested the most precious thing, his life, into you by his Spirit. And you in the kingdom of God are high value residents. Therefore, as high value residents, you have a great calling and a great opportunity to express God's goodness, his love, and his mercy to those who have not yet experienced that abundant party which he promises. The cry which is going out is a cry for freedom. Freedom, freedom. As I've interviewed many who are working amongst the refugees right now, and their desire is for freedom. They are looking for freedom. Of course, they're looking for security, safety. They're looking for freedom, though. And sometimes, as I've worked over the years, my first experience with refugees was back in the refugee camps in Thailand. In fact, one of those guys wrote a letter to us. I hadn't heard from him for 25 years. His name is Huang. And Huang is a Vietnamese. He was one of the boat people who escaped. He'd been attacked. His boat had been attacked 9 times. The last time, the pirates were so angry, there was nothing left to steal. There were no women left to rape. Out of his group of 35, they rammed the boat and it broke apart. 25 of the 35 died in the water. And he said, I began to cry out to my gods, my nature gods, to save me. And then he said, I remembered there was a God named Jesus. And he said, I cried out to Jesus. And I saw in a like a vision, I saw a throne, I saw God on the throne, and I heard, if you will believe in me, you'll be saved. Anyways, he contacted us last week. I haven't, airmail. I decided I'd phone him yesterday. And so I said, well, is it great living in America now, Huang? You know, you've been there, living there. He drives a bus, school bus. I said, what do you think? He said, no, living in America is not great. He said, but living with my God is great. And so I was so encouraged to hear that. He had been a man who begged me for a Bible. He said, please, I want a Bible. I want to read the Bible. And I said, I'm sorry, we don't give out Bibles. Because Bibles were used for toilet paper. They were used for wallpaper. They were used for cigarette paper, but they weren't used to read, and we were told not to. And also, the UNHCR didn't like Christian groups distributing the Bible. They still tend not to like that at all. But he begged me, and I said, oh, please, to my team leader, can I give him a Bible? And what if I have him memorize some Bible verses? Maybe he'll be show that he's serious. So I gave him 50 verses. Huang came back a week later. I'd said, memorize 10 of these and recite them, come back, and then, if you can memorize 10, I'll give you a Bible. He came back, he'd memorized all 50 of them. Said one after another. God is in the business of transforming, of changing our lives, but a nation is not what is great. Living with our God is great. Let's go. Jesus, when he was preaching, he came to his hometown, Nazareth. Nazareth was a place where it was very small, 300 people. There was just really... Probably they'd been gossiping about him, slandering him for, years, because who was actually his father? Because we don't think it was Joseph. And, in this little place, he'd been a builder, probably a carpenter. And now he's coming back to preach there in the synagogue. Hometown boy turned good. They've heard great reports. And he gives this message when he went to Nazareth. He comes in the power of the Holy Spirit. And as he's they're expecting, what will he say? And the scroll from Isaiah is given. And there's something about coming to life that Jesus is demonstrating even now through speaking in his hometown. There's the sense, there's been the prophecies, and they know these words from Ezekiel of the dry bones, if you look on the next slide, of the dry bones coming, and there, this life springing forth, will these bones live? The Lord asks Ezekiel, and he says, only you know. There's a sense in our own lives, in the next slides, of us receiving the Spirit of God and coming back to life in our physical bodies, because God is concerned about this world, not just the world to come. Sometimes we've been so focused on getting out of here to get to somewhere else. But heaven is coming. When we say, let heaven come, we're asking for the kingdom of God, for God's rule and reign to be at work here in our midst. And as I'm saying these things, I want you to think, look at the next slide too, where you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes. Power to be free from fear. Power to love people who are different from us. Power to listen to their stories where they've gone through traumas. Power to be friends. Power to simply invite people to have a meal with us and us to have a meal with them. And to feel like we belong. We're accepted. We're loved. This power is a power which is not just some sort of spiritual thing. It's like the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is a spirit of love, of peace, of joy, of patience, of faithfulness, of gentleness, of all of these things, which are very real and embodied expressions of what God is like. He welcomes the poor. He welcomes the hungry. Jesus said, if you don't welcome the poor, if you don't feed the hungry, if you don't give a cup of water, if you don't visit those in prison, if you don't do these things, then I never knew you. And so my challenge to us is to be refilled with the Holy Spirit again and again and again, so that the Spirit of God is working through us in this normal, ordinary, mundane, everyday life that many of us feel that we live. And perhaps that is a challenge that I want to give you. Missionaries often get set up on the pillars. They often get, these are the super Christians. They're really doing it. And even we can feel like, well, I'm behind the scenes in the support team. No, no, no. All of us, as we work together in the body, play our part in all kinds of ways. Some ways may seem small in human eyes, but they're great in God's eyes. And I want to really encourage all of us today, we need a fresh infilling. We need a fresh empowering. Jesus, however, confronted something which hinders receiving the Spirit. When he proclaimed that I've come to preach good news to the poor, I've come to set the oppressed free, if you look in the next slide, I think it is, I've come to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. He's come to proclaim all of these things, and they're all thinking, that's fantastic. That's great. And they're expecting now, do what, you know, you promised, do it here amongst us in this place. And they're looking for some great miracles, some signs, some wonders, you know. He goes on and says, you know, surely you'll say to me, physician, heal yourself. So they're all happy about him. They're not thinking, oh no, he's making messianic claims here. We're gonna kill him because of that, which is the way many interpreters have read. No, they're looking forward to, okay, what you gonna do here amongst us? You know? Show us the stuff. We're ready. And then he just says a couple of things that just turn them all against him. What does he say? Go on, next one. I assure you that there were many widows in Israel in Elijah's time, but God sent him to none of them, but to a widow in Zarephath. Okay, where is Zarephath? It's between Tyre and Sidon. It's over in Lebanon today. Send him to a non-Israelite. Send him to a foreigner. And she was the one who was blessed. And I can assure you that there were many lepers in Israel at the time of Elisha, but none of them were healed, only Naaman the Syrian. Oh, this is not going down well in Britain first. It's not going down well in the hometown of Nazareth. They're feeling threatened because, man, those Romans are encroaching on their land, on their territory. Just a few miles down the road, about 5 kilometers, 3 miles down the road, there's a big city being built, Sepphoris. And Sepphoris has a theater that seats 4,000 people. It's wealthy. It was destroyed, but now lots of money. Maybe even, you know, Joseph and Jesus had contract work there doing building. I don't know. But they don't want to hear about God wanting to bless the Gentiles, the enemies, the foreigners, the Syrians, the Lebanese. No. And what's their response? Next slide. Oh, sorry, back. And all the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard this. They got up, drove him out of the town, and took him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built in order to throw him off the cliff. There is huge resistance to what Jesus is proclaiming as his mission, because he's saying God's mission is for all peoples. Now, maybe in London, not too many of us have this kind of ethnocentrism anymore. I don't know. I kind of doubt it. It lurks in the human heart. In Rome, in the time of Justin Martyr, Justin had a discipleship school there about 150 AD. Justin said, "We who once hated and killed those of different tribes who had different customs to ourselves, now welcome them all, longing that they too would receive the blessings that we have received in Jesus Christ." And I maybe am preaching to the converted here in this congregation, but I want to urge you, will you receive afresh from the Holy Spirit to reach out to those who are different from you? Welcome them. Maybe it's a meal. Maybe it's, hey, so would you like to go to a coffee? Somebody maybe who would be on the fringes, on the edge, those that they would not be received. In the Lesbos, in the refugee camps, I had one report where the guy they were reaching out to had been a chief bodyguard in a Muslim nation, and he kept saying, he said, "I want to learn about Christian. I want to learn about Christian." And his name is Muhammad, and they said, "Well, you can learn, that's fine." He said, "No, I'm a very, very bad man. I'm a bad man." He said, "I have killed people. I have hurt many people. I am very black. I am very dark. I'm strong. I'm powerful, but I'm a very bad man." And they said, would you want to read the gospel? He said, I have been reading. I've been reading for 3 years. My friend back in my nation gave me a Bible, and I've been reading for 3 years. But I want to know. And he said things like, and I want water on my head. he wanted to be baptized. And he was seeking. He was beginning to understand. And as they had Bible studies with him, as he was grappling more and more with this, he said, I want to be, he said, I'm very, very dark, but I want to be clean, I want to be pure. And they led him through a process, and they had to leave then. And he wrote on Easter Sunday in the Orthodox Church, so I think it was just in April, he wrote, I am now a Christian, my name is John. Because of you guys, I believe. You know, oh, amazing, wonderful. There are many, many stories like that. And it's happening all the time, guys. It's happening in our nation. It's happening across Europe. One of the teams we oversee, they're working amongst Arabic speakers. And it is just, it's expanding. God is revealing himself in dreams and visions. Sometimes it's just a little thing to have a cup of coffee, to befriend someone. Not with, you know, and I'm going to make you become a Christian. Only God changes our hearts. No one else does. But we can welcome people so that they have a sense of belonging. I want to close with this slide here. Just keep going. If we could watch that video. And then after this, I want us just to have an opportunity to again ask for the Lord to anoint us and empower us in our ordinary lives, offering food, welcome, a place to stay, a friendly conversation, an ear to listen, sharing something of your own experience of walking with Jesus, but to be re-empowered by the Holy Spirit, to come alive, to have a new energy, not to be afraid at all, not to fear. God is doing this in our time because he longs that every people, every nation would come to know his infinite mercy, his great love and compassion, and would be joined into the family of God through his Son, Jesus Christ, by the Holy Spirit. Let's just listen to this a moment.
God created man in his own image. He walked with man in the cool of Eden, but sin interrupted that union. So God created the missionary. God said, because the harvest is plentiful, I need someone ready to sow the seed, to plow the ground, water the seed, and reap the harvest which is ripe. Someone to go and train, to multiply the crops, and to answer the call and pay the price. So God created the missionary. God said, I need someone honest and brave, full of grace, mercy, and compassion, free from fear and passivity, walking in true identity, someone burning with love and girded with truth, someone who radiantly reflects God's glory. So God made a missionary. God said, I need someone who would say yes before they were asked. Someone who would go to distant islands, barren deserts, inner cities, closed nations, next door neighbors, and prestigious universities to reach the unreached. Who would hike any mountain and endure any obstacle? Because how will they believe in him of whom they have never heard? How will they hear unless someone preaches? And how will they preach unless they are sent? So God made the missionary.
Here am I, send me. And I'd like us to just change that a little bit today and say, here we are, Lord, send us. Because you've heard again and again this morning, it's not the one person going. It takes the whole body, the whole church, connected together. And as we together can reflect the glory, the love, the freedom, encouraging one another when we feel afraid, when we feel like giving up, when we feel like this just isn't working. But together, by His Spirit, God renews us, working in amongst us, so that we can offer that invitation to many, many people from many nations to come and enjoy the party, come and enjoy the table, the Father's rich table that He's laid for us, and enjoy the freedom, freedom from fear, freedom from oppression, freedom from bondage, freedom from addiction, freedom from hatred, freedom, freedom that allows us to live as God has intended us, because every human being is created in the image of God. Every human being has dignity. Whether it's the Maasai girls or the Maasai warriors learning to play cricket, or the local neighbor boy, the neighbor girl just across the road from you, they're precious to God, created in His image. If right now you'd like to receive a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit because He's given each of us a missionary call and work to do to represent Him, then I'd like to ask you to stand, and I'd like to pray, and if there's a prayer team as well, is that we okay with that? Henry, if you want to tell us how we can do that, but I'd like to pray as well.